All right, so today we are on episode 2 of our ADD, ADHD, autism educational episode. And I want to start today with talking about the elephant in the room, if you will, when it comes to conventional versus holistic medicine, and talking about vaccines. You know, I don't want to talk about this subject as a you should do this or that, but I just want to educate our audience on the rights that they have to be educated and well-informed with their choices. Now, we all know when we go to the doctor with our kids or we go to the doctor for our own vaccines, whatever that may be, as we get older, they generally hand you these papers that give you all the information you need to know about the vaccines that you're receiving. What a lot of parents don't know, a lot of people in general don't know is, you know, that's something that comes direct from the pharmaceutical company, which you would expect. But the research, there's so much more research that is out there that is covered up by the pharmaceutical company by layers and layers and layers of fear mongering, things like that in the media from their doctor. There is a place and time for vaccines. We are not anti-vaxxers here. But we are on the floor of be well educated, be informed, do your own research. So there hasn't been, as far as the subject of autism and ADHD, there hasn't necessarily been quote unquote evidence that vaccines cause these types of issues with children, even as far as like allergies and asthma, right? And I say quote unquote evidence because there actually is research that does link the different side effects of vaccines and the different ingredients in vaccines with many children's health issues. You have to dig very deep for them. You have to go to the right sources. You have to find those organizations that are not paid off by Big Pharma to get these. And the reason why we want to mention this is because obviously with, like you've heard us talking in the previous episode, and we'll talk more about in this episode, is that heavy metals affect the brain neurologically in a negative way. And when you have vaccines, especially as an infant, there is an overwhelming burden of chemicals and heavy metals that are going into that child that are going straight to the brain. We've heard us talk about it in the brain health when it is, you know, related to older people and the neurological issues like dementia and Alzheimer's and things that they're going through. But it's just as important in children and infants because their bodies are so much smaller and it is so much more overwhelming for them. And the fact is right now, there's like 92 vaccines that a child is getting in their first year of life. So their body is continually burdened with this, and they don't necessarily have everything they need to detox. Their bodies aren't set up completely yet. You've got that first year of a child's life and their gut that is trying to make them healthy, create the immune system, right?
Actually, the immune system isn't fully developed for at least 2.5 years. So giving them all of those injections in that time frame, you know, is detrimental to their immune system. Absolutely.
And the argument from the pharmaceutical companies and from the doctors is this is to build their immune system, right? But there's so many more natural approaches that can be done. And that's like a whole nother episode that we can talk about later. But, you know, that's, you have to look at the burden. You have to, from a parental point of view, you have to take a stand on what is important for my child, what is going on, you know, other family members that maybe you've noticed, you know, maybe someone else has had a child who has become autistic, you know, was born autistic, whatever. You've noticed that. Do you want to take the risk and, you know, do a full vaccine schedule or maybe do a delayed vaccine schedule, maybe looking into alternative options like homeoprophylaxis from a homeopath, looking into different herbals or delaying, you know, instead of the first year, delaying it until 2 or 3 years, right? Like there's multiple different ways, multiple different options. But it all starts with making sure you're doing the research and you're understanding and you're asking questions and you're able to talk in a community that isn't afraid to answer those questions, that isn't afraid to go walk alongside you. One of the best sources that I have found is the Children's Health Defense Network, and it's run by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And you know, he was an environmental lawyer and he has switched into children's health because of the onslaught of children's health issues that is going on. And he will not take any money from the pharmaceutical companies. There's also the Truth About Vaccines website, which again, won't take any funding from the pharmaceutical companies. As a matter of fact, they're bullied a lot by them, but they have dug in really deep to find a lot of the older and newer research that is being covered up by these pharmaceuticals. You know, you have to think about, unfortunately, conventional medicine in many aspects, and obviously, you know, I'm not talking about all doctors and all hospitals, right? But in many aspects is a for-profit type of area. And if doctors can make more money by pushing vaccines and this and that, of course, they're taught this in school. That's the best thing. They're not taught other alternatives. They're taught to turn off any inkling of looking into other alternatives, right? So you've heard us talk a lot about the fact that there is a bridge that needs to happen between holistic medicine and conventional medicine. And I think this is one of the most important areas that that needs to start happening, but it will take a long time to do. So I just encourage you, if you are a parent and you are on that ledge of going, do I want to, do I not want to? I don't know. I don't have a lot of information. Everybody I talk to is just saying, I need to, you know, get, you know, into some of these websites. Like I said, the Children's Health Defense Organization, the Truth About Vaccines, they have groups on social media that you can get involved in as well and start asking questions and find that community that's going to support you. And you can always reach out to any of us as well. So, okay, so we've gotten that elephant out of the room. It has a lot to do with this subject, but until parents, I think, start digging into it, they don't fully understand, you know, how it's connected. So
yeah, I'd also like to bring up real quick is the number of vaccines. I mean, you mentioned, you know, 92 in the first year, but what, I mean, we're all over 50 here or close to it. you know, what were, I don't remember the number, but it was very few vaccines when we were children, maybe 20 or so. I don't remember the exact number, but now they're getting hundreds of vaccines, you know, in their childhood years. And it's just, you know, I don't understand why they need so many more vaccines. So, you know, really think about that, how many vaccines you got as a kid versus what they're promoting now.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the whole pandemic that we've recently had, I mean, there's been so much that has come out about those vaccines and new research and the things that they're causing, the massive side effects, right? You know, so this is, it's happening with normal vaccines, but because they're so normal and they've been given for so many years, there seems to be a thought process of we don't need to do research. You know, everything's fine, you know, so it's a very important topic for parents to dig into. And it can be scary. Absolutely. A lot of parents may be like, I don't want to dig into this because I might not like what I find, you know. And then, of course, if you've already given your kids vaccines, maybe the guilt sets in. I went through that, you know, the guilt sets in of what did I cause this? Is this why my child is the way that he is? And but there's also things that you can do to improve that we're going to talk about. A lot of the therapies and stuff that we're going to talk about today can help improve, you know, in that situation.
Well, and I think you hit on a good point, Shannon, and there's a fear in there, right? There's the fear of the unknown, and especially with the vaccine platform that we've been on for the last few years, with people not understanding it all. And you know, we're not all scientists. So when you're diving into that kind of stuff, it's scary. And so a lot of people just get overwhelmed, which I don't blame them. I know when I was trying to figure things out and understand what was being brought to the market and how it was different. And, you know, now we're living in the aftermath of that as far as people coming, you know, to the doctors, like, I didn't have this before, I have this or whatever. I think people just really have to kind of have a good hard swallow, stand, you know, in your power, and don't be afraid to ask questions and do the research, because I would much rather be in a place where I could stand and say, I turned over the stones, I looked in the dark, I opened the doors, I did the research, and I made my decision, versus I didn't really check into it, I didn't know what to do, so I followed the herd. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer in any way, but I think you have to take ownership. And that's really kind of what I'm trying to say, is take ownership of your own health and wellness and your choices and decisions, and ask the hard questions.
Yeah. And I think that was ever more present, like you said, during the last couple of years, because if someone was, and I know a lot of people that I talked to, they were questioning it. They did not want to do anything, you know, and they were forced into it, or lose their job, lose their way of life, you know, lose that income. And, you know, I would tell them that should speak volumes to you, that the government would make you choose between having an income and getting that. That is a bullying technique. That's a fear mongering technique, and nothing is worth that, you know, like, and, you know, we see a lot of people who, like you said, Bobby, are having the fallout from that, you know, whether they took it and have side effects and health issues or didn't. And, you know, they've had to find new jobs, new ways of life, new, you know, and that's something that should have never happened. And that was a time that I think was preyed upon because people weren't educated and they didn't know where to search for the education to understand those critical thinking skills and the questions to ask and where to ask them. So it's like, you know, that's why it's like now, you know, what have you learned from that? What choices do you make moving forward? And how do you make sure that you are informed about your options, about legalities of different situations like happened during the pandemic, you know? And it, when you're educated, it's like, it's fear of knowing, but at the same time, it's also, once you know, it gives you that level of confidence. Once you can just sit down and wrap your head around it and make the decisions that you're going to make for your family, you do it with confidence. You can stand up tall and go, this is the decision. This is the hill I'm going to stand on. This is the hill I'm going to die on, you know? And so it gives you that. It takes over in place of that fear.
Definitely a choose your heart. Either way, you're going to have work associated with it. Would you rather take the work of just, you know, doing some reading and talking to some people, or having to undo a lot of the damages? Not to say it can't be done, but for me, knowing what I went through, I'd rather know ahead of time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's dig into genetics. So there's a lot of scientific studies out there that point one way or another to that autism, ADHD, any type of health issue like this, especially in kids, has to do with genetics. And there is some connection for sure. The genetic testing that typically is done is on DNA. So it's your DNA testing, but not necessarily, and they say that, you know, you cannot change your DNA, right? You can't change it. DNA is something that changes over centuries of genetics, but you do have the epigenetics. So the epigenetics are the things that you can clean up. You can figure out what environmental triggers have set them off and how to change those. So when it comes to ADD, ADHD, autism, things like that, we're talking more about the epigenetic portion of it. Okay. It's something called Dirty Genes. And there's a book by Dr. Ben Lynch called Dirty Genes. He's got a great website with a lot of resources. You can also find him on social media. And this is something that until the last 2 years, I never really thought about. You know, I heard a lot about it, as we all have as health coaches, right? But it's a very, very complicated, in-depth subject. Like, you literally have to be someone that this is your only focus as far as education to understand it, and years and years and years of going through it. So, you know, just didn't really tap into it, but then we decided to get our own tests done. And I am someone who has struggled with ADHD. I was on Ritalin when I was a kid for 8 years, and I struggle as an adult, even with a business, which is hard for me to admit, but I struggle with that and dealing with it and trying to get things done through the day, bouts of, you know, depression and things like that. So had the genetic test done, I honestly didn't expect anything to come back. However, the things that came back showed me the reason why I had ADHD symptoms is because specific genes were dirty and I wasn't getting, I'm not feeding them properly. In the methylation process, there's little spots that are kind of hindered and blocked from working properly. So this is something I was just telling everyone, all the ladies before we came on today, that this is something, had I had the knowledge and these tests were around when my oldest child struggled with all of these symptoms, would have given me so many answers and given us a clearer path to take with him holistically, and probably would have seen some really, really great results had my parents had this technology and access to these tests. I probably wouldn't have been put on Ritalin. You know, it would have been changing my diet. It would have been doing other coping methods, making sure I was getting proper nutrients and things like that, right? So I don't know, what are your thoughts as far as this type of testing that's available now for parents who are struggling with kids with ADHD symptoms or autism?
I think it's a godsend. It's a powerful tool, and it's out there. It's available. So like you were saying, so much more available. And I would only hope that parents or caregivers would at least consider some of those portions of what's available, because it can really make a significant difference.
It is quite pricey, you know, but think about, you know, over the long term, you know, you spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars going to doctors and different, you know, therapies, when if you had those answers up front, you could save yourself all that money, because like I said, it is pricey, but, you know, having that knowledge is such a blessing, and being able to work through it, like we were saying, you know, before we got on the show, you know, knowledge is power. So
yeah, having answers, you know, I know as a parent, and for myself personally, like when I sit here and I struggle with the things I struggle with, and it's just that frustration of why can't I do X, Y, Z? And your children are going through the same thing. They're not understanding, especially at a younger age, why everyone else is fine with doing a specific task, but they can't. It's frustrating, right? And so to have those answers, you know, or a parent to have those answers and go, ah, okay, now this makes sense. Now I know what to do, at least to start the journey. And we're not talking, I want to make clear to our audience who's listening, we're not talking about, you know, like the ancestry.com DNA testing. Like, this is specifically methylation gene testing. So it's testing the neurotransmitters, the urea cycle. It's testing the methionine cycles in your body. A couple other things to make sure that, you know, how is your body methylating nutrients? Is your body making the proper neurotransmitters? And if not, why? How is stuff leaving your body after your body has processed it and those metabolites are sending it? Are they staying in your body, or are they actually leaving your body? And there are some other follow-up tests that will probably have to be done, like nutrient testing through like an oats test, an organic acids test, right? So be prepared for that. But when you're going through something, I know as a parent of, you know, ADHD, autistic child, this definitely, like you said, Jane, would have been a godsend to have these answers. You know, it's going to cost you probably $1,000 to $1,500 up front to get these tests, because they are holistic test, functional medicine test. They're not tests that your conventional doctor will order and will tell you you're crazy, but they are tests that are going to give you answers so that you have other options in front of you, other paths that you can choose. And there is no reason why you can't combine conventional with holistic, you know, once you've got these answers. So, you know, there's other gene tests. Jane, I know you have one that you want to talk about, and it specifically points to like autism.
Yeah. I have a personal experience in that there is a syndrome called Fragile X syndrome. And I remember when I took my son years and years ago to a neurodevelopmental pediatrician, and one of the providers there said, "Let me see your hand." And I'm like, "What?" So I show my hand. She says, "You have the sign of being a carrier for that." And so I thought it'd be really interesting to share information about Fragile X syndrome. Basically, what it is inherited genetic disorder, and is characterized by physical abnormalities, behavioral challenges, and a wide range of health issues. And it's predominantly linked to ADD, ADHD, and autism. And from what my research is, because I had to refresh my memory, it sounds more so autism versus the other one, but it can definitely play a role with the others, right? So it has developmental delays, intellectual disabilities, anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive behaviors. You can have distinct physical features associated with this. You can have flexible or double jointed fingers, flat feet, enlarged testicles in males after puberty. Low muscle tone is another thing that can happen. And as far as commonality, it's not known the exact number nationwide, worldwide. But what their statistics are is 1 in 11,000 females and 1 in 7,000 males have FXS. So in other words, Fragile X syndrome. So it's highly linked, again, to autism spectrum. And so still ongoing studies associated with it. 1 in 44 children in the U.S. receive an autism diagnosis by the age of 8. And genetics, as I was saying, can play a significant role. Again, it's the epigenetics that Shannon was talking about that play the part. And so Fragile X syndrome is linked to the causation by the FMR1 gene. And so they continue to explore that. And early intervention is key. Fragile X syndrome is linked again to ADD, ADHD, social anxiety, hand biting or hand flapping, poor eye contact, sensory disorders, and increased risk for aggression. So it's a leading cause of autism spectrum disorder. And so, yeah, I thought it was really interesting to put that out there so that the listeners can kind of take a peek at that and see if that's something that they can present to their care provider, you know, and everything. And again, the test, yes, they can be, you know, involved and financially straining, but I was thinking earlier that maybe a parent or a caregiver can set up a health savings account to overcome the cost of that too. So again, I think that's really important to know about.
I think in my world of the regenerative health, we talk a lot about your genetic expression and how your genes, basically from what we've been taught, is that about 5% of your health is related to the expression of your genes, and the 95%, as Jane was saying, is the epigenetics, the environment that your genes live in. And so I like to kind of give a couple, a good example is I like to make this grain-free bread. And when I make it, it takes a little while to make it. So I always make a double batch. And so I have both of the batches side by side, and I'm putting the same things into two different bowls and doing the whole thing. And every single time, one of the loaves gets taller and fluffier and looks different. And it probably has something to do with, I'm sure I'm not a baker or big cook, but the temperature of the eggs or the temperature or how many times I fluffed, you know, I stirred the eggs and things like that, or something that just was different, even though it was the same ingredients. And that's what I like people to understand is that, I mean, like you, Shannon, I have a genetic propensity to not be a good detoxifier. So I know that. I'm happy I know that now that I am coming out of mold toxicity and stuff like that. Had I known that prior to that, I would have probably lived a different type of life. But knowing that information is powerful. But what I want to caution people about is there's a lot of people out there that are going to take your money. They're going to, you know, bring a test to market that is supposedly the test and it's going to solve all your problems. The reality is you need to be in a mindset of thinking about, if I do this testing, am I willing to, one, accept the answers and be okay with what the answers are telling me and not live and die by the numbers, but to also, what will I do differently in my life? Or am I ready to make changes, whatever those changes are? And if your answers are, no, I'm not going to change my lifestyle, my food, my water, my drink, where I live, who I spend time with, how I sleep, how I manage stress and all the things. If you're not really at a place where you want to change that, then doing that testing is probably not right for you at this time. Because in order to make changes in your epigenetics, you have to change your habits, your lifestyle, the things that you're choosing to eat and put on your body and places you live and the people you spend time with. Those are all the things that change our gene expression. Did the light switch flip on or did the light switch flip off? And that's what I like to kind of show people, is that you have so much power in your lifestyle. And before I would ever want to put my kid on any kind of any plan, I would at least clean up the home environment. Start there and start in one room. Pick that room, whether it's the pantry, the refrigerator, the laundry room, the garage, you know, your bathroom, your products, whatever, and just go slow with that and clear, you know, do a foundational clearing of your system and your family and your life. And then, you know, go into the deeper dives possibly.
Absolutely. And I have to add to that, excuse me, if you'd feel that you cannot afford these tests that we're talking about, start with those things, removing the toxins. Absolutely. And the other thing is too, while we were talking, I remembered a study I saw where they showed the increased use of glyphosate over the last 40 years is directly related to the increase in autism. So definitely want to get, you know, and I've said a lot of times, you know, all these, the gluten sensitivities. Is it the glyphosate or is it the actual wheat and the gluten and gliadin? So really take that into heart. And gluten is also known to be a neurotoxin. So that would be one of the things that I would remove pretty quickly as well. If you're having some issues like these that we're talking about, the ADHD and the autism, you know, look at the toxins in your home and in your food products.
I've seen that graph that you're talking about, and they even do it by
shocking.
They do it by United States, like the levels and things like that. I mean, once you see, you can Google it and look it up, like glyphosate usage or over the years, or you can find it. But once you see it, you cannot unsee it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it blew my mind.
Really visually just smacks you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it brings up that topic of the second brain, right? Like your gut is your second brain. And so you have to take care of it. So any toxins that are going in, processed foods that are overwhelming it, that, you know, invite toxins as well. Like gut health is where you need to start. Any client that I've had who has a child with behavioral disorders or autism, gut health is the only place we start. Don't worry about anything else, you know, because cleaning the gut up means that they're going to be able to absorb the proper nutrients once we get start getting those in there, right? So anything that's destroying that gut bacteria, lowering the HCL in the gut, anything like that, destroying the gut lining is going to be detrimental to anything that your brain has to do throughout the day, because that's where your neurotransmitters are created. So it just, once you understand the connections of all of it, it starts opening your eyes and it starts making sense. So that kind of leads into the topic of detox. And I know right now, all over social media, we have a spray that many parents are using with zeolites in it to detox their children. And they're seeing great results, but they're also, you don't see them talking about the downside of that. You only hear them talking about the upside of it. Detox can be a great thing for your body. Kids are much more sensitive. And although you may be detoxing, and I'll talk about these sprays with things like zeolite specifically, it cannot be the only thing that you do. And it really should not be done without a professional supervising and helping you out with that. Because there's other things that can happen. You know, there's other ways that the body may be detoxing during that, whether it's rashes or, you know, sinuses filling up. Like, there's all of these different things that the body, because everybody's body is different. You know, you have the typical detox system that all our bodies have, but everybody's body reacts differently when they're detoxing. And it also reacts differently if those toxins are just floating around, refloating into the system and not getting released from the system. So it's very important to make sure that you have the proper binders on board the same time that you are detoxing, especially when it comes to heavy metal detoxes. And those binders can sometimes look different for every child and every person. So what is working for one group of children may not work for another child and may actually make things worse. Chelation is something that's a big talked about process for those with autism. And a lot of people, well, I won't say a lot, but majority of people, parents who look into this, think that they can do this on their own. I've talked with a majority of parents who've come to me with kids with autism. They're like, you know, I've read up on chelation and, you know, can we just get some of these products so I can do it here at home? And I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because you have to have a licensed medical professional supervising that whole process, because there are some things that can go very wrong if a child has too much of a product, too little of a product, doesn't have enough binders on board. Like, there's so many things that need to be adjusted within that. So that's something you're looking into. Make sure you're looking into it with a licensed medical professional who is up to date on how to do it, who uses it in their clinic on a regular basis, and isn't just, okay, we'll try this, you know, and taking your word for what's included in it. So, you know, detox can be a wonderful thing. Detoxing with foods is a great thing. But, you know, those who have autistic children, a lot of times there's a texture issue. So the foods that they should be getting, they're not getting because they don't like the texture, or it has to be fixed a specific way, right? So here's a case where we have a client, right, that wants to detox. We can go with just using food to detox, right? Whereas a parent who has a child who has ADHD or autism, even an older adult who struggles with dementia, Alzheimer's, right? It may be necessary to go with supplements or powders for nutrients that can be added to, you know, maybe they like a shake, maybe they love a smoothie every morning, right? To be able to add those things in so they're getting the nutrients. So there's a lot. I think that's probably the hardest thing dealing with a child with autism, no matter the level that it's at, is trying to consistently move with the changes that are happening with them, especially in relation to the foods that they're eating. Because as a parent, our main goal is to try to keep these little children alive. And food is a big part of that. So, you know, we're trying to make sure they're eating right. I think the hardest thing that I have struggled with as a health coach going through this as a parent is parents who have come to me that are not willing to change the foods that their children are eating and have the thought process that as long as the store carries it, it's okay to give my child. And it's unfortunate to see those children get worse and worse and worse and worse. But again, like you said, Bobby, you have to be willing, when something like this comes up, you have to be willing to take the next steps to improve it or not. You know, like that's your choice as a parent. And it can be a very hard decision because it is so overwhelming. Just sitting in a doctor's office getting this diagnosis alone is overwhelming and can be overwhelming for weeks.
And it, and the overwhelm can cause you to be wanting the, I don't want to say a quick fix, because I think anybody who has a family member diagnosed with autism knows that there's no quick fix. No. But it can cause you to be desperate, and it can cause you to be what I call a cherry picker, where you are bouncing around, you hear about something and you order it or you purchase it and you try it. And then you go on to the next thing. And before you know it, you've got the supplement or product graveyard where you try different things. And I think what I would encourage anybody that is interested in looking into a any type of a detox program is to look for a comprehensive program. Meaning that, like Shana was talking about, there's things that pull. There's things that pull things out of your tissues. There's things that bind. So that takes that thing that you've pulled out of your tissue and binds to it so that it can get out of your system. There's products that will support the energy of your body to actually do that work. And then there's products that help you sweep it up and get it out of your system. So to take some, just take a random, you know, heavy metal binder or something like that, and you don't have an open digestive system, your colon's clogged up, you're not hydrated, you're not drinking enough water, your body is low on energy because you're stressed out, you're really kind of stirring the pot to make yourself miserable and to have Herxheimer reactions, which are where your body is screaming like, I am flooded with this toxin and I don't know where to put it. And a lot of times people really make their situations worse, or they give themselves more actually symptoms that they have to manage now because they're taking cherry picked something that they thought they heard or read or some other parent, you know, suggested it. And I'm not saying not to network and do those things, but you got to be wise and you got to use support and you use a reputable company like BioRay is a great one because they actually have a line, specific lines to help you go through and, you know, take this and take that. And these are the reasons. I'm a CellCore practitioner. That's another company that has a whole detox line and they have steps and they've put millions of dollars into the research of what comes first, what comes second, what comes third, why do we do it? So there's a lot that goes into that. And like Shannon said, you need to work with somebody that has walked that walk with someone or walked it themselves, you know, and know what's ahead or what's around the corner so that you're not, you know, slapped in the face with, they woke up one day with all of these new symptoms because you tried a new product.
And I would like to add another quick resource since place where you might be able to find a doctor who can help you with this. It's called the MAPS group, Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. They have a list there of where you can find doctors who are certified with them. I'm actually going to a conference with them next week. So can't wait for that, but I did want to bring that up, that that's a great place to find a doctor who can help you.
Report back to us, Kath. I'm interested.
Yeah,
definitely want to hear that.
I already told her we're going to do a special episode on what she finds out, what she learns. So let's move into quote unquote detox a little bit deeper and just talk about like some of the supplements or the nutrient deficiencies that need to be corrected that have to do with things like methylation, like B vitamins. Jane, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So the B vitamins are really come to the forefront in terms of neurological support. And I can go down the list here. And I can tell you some signs of, you know, things that are attributed to these deficiencies. Like you're saying, Shannon, it's picky eating. You know, you get the taste and texture ball up for those on the spectrum and such. You have malabsorption issues. You have autoimmunity. And you can have genetic polymorphisms. And so all these contribute to, like, you know, you have nutrient deficiencies and you can test for them. And I would say, first and foremost, it's the B vitamins. And some studies reported that deficiencies in B12 in particular and folate, which is vitamin B9, in patients diagnosed with ADHD. So there's a big correlation there. Let's see. I just reading down the list because I have some statistics here and I don't want to just guess what they are. Vitamin B6 is another player. Along with magnesium. And well-controlled studies have shown inconsistent improvements ranging from better eye contact to increased impulse control and improved social interactions, communication with vitamin B6 and the magnesium, I guess. Let's see. And then going on to circling back to vitamin B12, I was really fascinated by how the myelin sheath is impacted by vitamin B12. And so the myelin sheath is like, picture a plastic insulation on electrical wire. So you have protective coating, right, in the cells within that and everything. And so if we're low in the vitamin B12, those cells are all wonky. They're not nourished. And so that coating is subject to breaking down and being weak. And so we want to make sure that that is supported. And another thing for vitamin B12, circling back to that, is energy production, essential fatty acid metabolism, immune system support. And so all those things come into play when you know that you have enough B vitamins. It's really important to take that into consideration.
Yeah. And it's important to note here too, that there's different types of B vitamins. You have methylated B vitamins, which are easier to absorb for specific people with different genetic SNPs, right? But then you also have unmethylated B vitamins. So if your body needs methylated, but you're taking unmethylated Bs, you're not absorbing those. You're not using them, and vice versa. If you're taking unmethylated, but your body needs the methylated version, it's not doing anything for you. It's not helping. And B vitamins have a lot to do with the methylation cycle as far as your body detoxing and using other nutrients properly. And which is big for brain health, right? I know for our son, we never had the information, the education about B vitamins until we stumbled upon something we were doing with him that made him so much better. He was playing football, which was before we knew about his brain injury. He shouldn't have been playing football, but several years before. And we noticed that because it was when those little B vitamin shots came out, they could just drink. And so before football, a couple of weeks, he would take a B vitamin shot. He would take the drink. And for 5 or 6 hours, that kid was the most focused kid we had ever seen. But once it wore off, you could see the struggle again, right? So that was our first indication, oh my goodness, he needs B vitamins. And then that dug me into learning more about B vitamins and how they react and what they do and all these different things. So, like I said, we didn't have the education back then. We have the education now. So, and now even more so, you have the ability to test genes, to do blood tests, to do, urine tests and everything to figure out the nutrient deficiencies that you are having or your child is having, and to be able to properly supplement with those. Another thing I want to mention here when it comes to B vitamins is a lot of our processed foods are white breads, crackers that are made with white flour, cereals that are creating, your processed cereals are all sprayed, that flour is sprayed with folic acid, synthetic folic acid, which does more detrimental damage to your body and your cells than actual folate. Folate is the proper form that your body, and I think it's B9, correct me if I'm wrong, Jane, but B9 that your body needs. Folic acid can destroy your genes, can destroy cells. You don't want that. And that's why it's so important when you're having these issues, and really for anybody, but you want to steer clear of those white flours. Like you said, Kathy, you know, you got the glyphosate that's being sprayed on flours, right? But you also have folic acid after it's harvested being sprayed on them. So you're getting that double whammy to your body system. And there is a lot of research on it. So this is something, you know, if you're listening to this, just look it up, you know, folic acid, synthetic folic acid being sprayed on flour, the damage that it's doing. A lot of people are starting to talk about, you know, folate and the importance of folate, B9, and getting natural sources of it and things like that. So
I do have a couple other items I'd like to bring up. There's actually a double-blind study that shows sulforaphane, which is the broccoli sprout extract, basically, may improve autistic behavior by up to 34%. And we actually have seen nonverbal kids actually start to talk after a week or so of supplementing with this. And then the other thing is, there was actually a study done by Great Plains a few years ago that's showing that there's a huge DPP-4 deficiency. And DPP-4 is actually the enzyme that breaks down gluten and gliadin. And the reason this, part of the reason this deficiency is around is because back in the 60s, they decided that that everyone on this low-fat kick, and we had the cows, the A2 cows. Everybody knows about A2 milk now. It's kind of come back into fashion. But all the cows out there were A2 cows, and they have a higher fat content of milk. So they bred out all these A2 cows and, you know, started using the A1 and the B cows. So that's part of the reason we have this DPP-4 deficiency. And there's actually a long list of conditions that are directly related with this. And some of them are in ADHD, Crohn's, autism, Alzheimer's, alcoholism, anorexia. They're all directly related to a DPP-4 deficiency. So definitely, you know, want to take that into consideration, as well as maybe looking at getting a stool test, because like we were saying earlier, the microbiome, the gut-brain connection is huge. So you might want to look into getting a stool test as well. That's one thing that we hadn't discussed yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the sulfurine, like that does it have to be fermented broccoli sprouts?
No, sulforaphane. You can get standardized sulforaphane with powder. But the other way is you can get glucuronase and myrosinase, but you have to have good microbiome to break down that myrosinase to actually convert it into the sulforaphane. So that's standardized sulforaphane is actually a better option than the glucuraphanins and the myrosinase.
That's interesting.
You actually get a kit and grow your own broccoli sprouts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun. It's in a big glass jar, and you put the water in there, throw the seeds in there, put it in the dark for a little bit, you know, get it to sprout. And I was amazed what grew out of the jar in just like 7 days. I couldn't believe it.
But then you're also talking about, you know, trying to get the kid to eat it. You know, how much of the broccoli sprouts do you really need to eat to get to the efficient dose?
Yeah.
Right. And kids, yeah, you might be able to hide it in some other things, possibly
like a smoothie or something.
Yeah. But I do know when you're eating them, though, you really want to chew them. The active ingredient comes alive when you're actually pressing your teeth onto the broccoli sprouts and actually releasing that, not just you know, swallowing it whole and having it go into your system. It's actually a chemical kind of thing going on. So
yeah,
something for people to think about if they have kids and they're interested in doing some kind of fun thing with them, they can try that.
The reason I asked that, because you see a lot of supplements now, like I've noticed in the last year and a half, fermented broccoli sprouts, you know, fermented broccoli is it's so that's why I asked that question is it something that has to be fermented, you know, for those people listening. My personal thought was it's more of a marketing type of thing than it is necessity for health thing. Right. So
I agree, Shannon. I think fermented is like a new buzzword in the world, you know, fermented. And to be honest, there's a good part of the fermenting, but there's also people that shouldn't be putting fermented things into their system. You know, people that already have SIBO and already have
histamine.
Histamine, things like that. You know, you're not, you know, following the whole have a little teaspoon of cabbage and all that kind of stuff, which is great. But if you already have a dysregulated microbiome in your gut and you've got the bad guys outweighing the good guys and you already have gas and bloating, fermented foods aren't exactly something that's going to help you right now.
Yeah, I just want to pipe in. Over the weekend, we visited family and my little grandson was enjoying broccoli so much as his favorite vegetable. I was singing praises over there. So
nice. I wonder how they accomplished that one.
Yeah, he's going to be 3 in April. So it's like, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Jane, you had mentioned omegas. And I think that's definitely an important supplement to mention here.
Yeah, definitely.
And making sure it's a good source of omegas, right? Obviously their best source is going to come from foods, you know, like fresh fish and things like that. But, you know, finding reputable brands of omegas that aren't damaged by heat. The issue with omega supplements is they are very, very sensitive. The active ingredients in them are so sensitive to heat and sitting, you know, sitting in a warehouse somewhere. So you need to make sure you're getting a good brand. So doing research on that. Kathy, I don't know if you have any information to add to that, because I know.
Not really. We had one at Microbiome Labs that I still use that one, but I've heard the Rosita brand is really good and it's made small batch. Mm-hmm. So that's one that I will eventually switch to.
One of the things that in my program that they recommend to our clients is if you've got nervous system dysregulation for whatever reason, PTSD, autism, you know, excessive stress in your life, whatever, you can take like an evening primrose oil, a borage oil. I'm actually right now taking a black cumin seed oil, and I just take it's actually in a capsule. I was doing the borage oil and it was a liquid, and it was kind of like taking, I would call it like shoe polish or something. It was not user friendly. But you can take that at night before you go to bed, and it can be a great food for your nervous system while you're sleeping so that it can use those fatty acids to repair and to support your neurotransmitter generation in going on in your gut. And what's nice about the taking it at night away from other foods is that it's not slowing down a bunch of other things when you're eating, because one of the things when people are eating proteins, fats, and carbs all at one time, there's a lot of different enzymes that are required to break down those three types of nutrients. And sometimes with people, like I mentioned, that already have gut dysbiosis and issues, if you're eating carbs on top of fat and protein, you're kind of stoking the fire inside your gut, and the enzymes that break down or take in the carbohydrates, the fruits and vegetables and things like that, are going to work faster than like an enzyme that's working on a piece of fat. And so you can cause more issues in your gut if you're layering fat on top of carbs and protein. So I tend to, recommend to people, just try some borage oil or primrose oil, The black cumin, mine is in a little capsule. I get it from Organic Nature. And I just take two of them before I go to bed. And I do feel like it has been something that has supported my nervous system. It wasn't like miraculous thing happened and all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks later, my nervous system is all good, but I felt like it was supporting a missing piece to my health that wasn't getting taken care of during the day with the nutrients I was taking in.
That's a good point. And I think flaxseed oil would probably be good as well, right? Or even just like ground flax seeds, you know, for kids, especially freshly ground. Don't buy them ground. You need to grind them yourself. So.
And they need to be organic and you keep them in the freezer and grind them as you need them.
Yep. And typically especially for a kid, a tablespoon is plenty. And that helps with gut detox as well. So, I want to talk real quick for a moment about magnesium, because Jane, you had brought up magnesium. Someone else had brought up magnesium as well. Magnesium is really great for the nervous system when it comes to children who have ADHD, ADD, autism. The only source of magnesium that has been proven to pass the blood-brain barrier is magnesium glycinate. So definitely look for that form. It can be hard to find on its own. A lot of times you will see it combined with another form of magnesium. But you definitely want that to be able to pass through the blood-brain barrier for that nervous system. And again, that's also one of those things where you need to have really good gut health, because if your gut is a mess, it's not going to absorb very well either. So it's like this double-edged sword that parents have to deal with, you know, or someone who's an adult who has ADHD. There's this double-edged sword that we got to deal with and decide what comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know, and it really depends on your symptoms. You know, if you're somebody who is struggling with sleep like crazy, you know, doing something like a magnesium potassium blend could help you at least get some good sleep and calm your nervous system down a little bit to then be able to move to something else, or just trying something like magnesium glycinate. So because it's literally like trying to go through one symptom at a time, one thing, you know, like what's the thing that we need to work on right now that is making mom lose her sanity, you know? So it's going to have that roller coaster effect. So Jane, let's talk about some other supplements. You brought up a really great article by Nicole Apelian, and having to do with managing ADHD and autism symptoms naturally. So do you want to talk about that article real quickly together?
Yeah. Did you want me to touch on the herbal, go straight to herbal, or go to Okay. So what I extracted, quote unquote, extracted from that resource is that, as you know, conventional medicine often relies on medications like Ritalin, Adderall for managing ADHD symptoms, right? It's very commonplace. However, I want everybody to know that there are alternative approaches that focus on diet, lifestyle, and supplements and herbal support. But I'm going to touch on the herbal support. So what I was able to gather from it is valerian is one. Research suggests that valerian may help ADHD symptoms such as hyperactivity and inattention and impulsivity, where ginkgo biloba shows that ginkgo extract can improve ADHD symptoms, and it's essential to consider potential interactions with other medications with that, though. Just bear that in mind. And Korean red ginseng and bacopa manieri, these herbs have been proposed for effective addressing ADHD symptoms, and but conclusive evidence is still lacking. And so keep that in mind as well. And a lemon balm, which is also called a Melissa officinalis, Again, not fully proven according to this article. Lemon balm might also offer calming effects and potentially benefit from those with ADHD. I also want to add, too, the lemon balm is really good calmative for the digestive tract. For oftentimes with these diagnoses, you may have some digestive discomfort. So lemon balm is really good steeped as a tea. And last one I touched on before is omega-3 fatty acids. So we've been given some really good resources attached to that. So I would recommend taking a look at those.
I agree. And I think I love lemon balm. I grow
a ton of it. Yes.
I absolutely love it. I mean, we make teas with it. My rabbit absolutely loves it. My daughter loves it. I put it in, I make a sleep glycerite. So it's one of the major herbs that's in the sleep glycerite that I make for my kids. And I just want to remind our audience that when it comes to herbal supplements and when it comes to working with herbal medicine, herbal medicine's goal is not to fix the symptoms that you're having, right? It's not a fix it button. What herbal medicine is for is to support your body systems in coming back to balance where it should be. So using herbals, there's not going to be this 24-hour turnaround, right? You may notice some quick differences, like with lemon balm, having just lemon balm tea, you're going to notice a calm that comes over you, right? But it's not like this long-lasting thing. So just keep that in mind, that it's not this quick fix it button. You know, you're not going to go to an herbalist and they're going to give you this mix of herbs for a tea or a tincture and it's going to fix everything, you know, in 24 hours. It takes time. The body, it's like peeling back the layers of what's going on in the body. And you're going to notice different changes at different times, and things are going to have to be adjusted when those things change. I know she said, you know, CBD is one of the things that is in there in her article as well. And I agree with that. If you listen to other episodes that we've done, I agree with CBD. But when it comes to things like autism, you really have to be careful because, again, epigenetics, they may not be able to process and use that CBD oil properly, which can make things worse. Okay. One of the other things that I love stress-wise, whether it's for mom or the kids, you know, if they're teenagers and struggling with a focus and it's due to an overload of stress, is something like Tulsi, holy basil, doing a tea like that, because it helps the brain to focus more because the neurotransmitters are kind of relaxing and we're just doing okay. We're just going to de-stress for a little bit. So,
I love Tulsi tea.
I do too. I love it.
I had a couple resources to give to everybody as well. One is Dr. Robert Morse Herbs Botanicals. Mm-hmm. It's got a brain and nervous system tincture. And I believe it's also in a glycerin. So if you didn't want the alcohol, you could get it that way. I actually have been using that for quite a while for the mold toxicity, because your brain gets pretty damaged from mold. And it, like you said, Shannon, I completely agree. These are not fixers or supporters. So if you can support someone's situation with herbs to help their nervous system work better and smoother, you know, I would highly recommend that. And then again, I mentioned earlier, but I'll mention it again. BioRay is a company that has a lot of kid line products, and especially like Kids in Focus and different things like that, that can help with their focus. If that's something that, you know, you really feel like you need to get on top of, but try one thing at a time, start small. You know, if it says, you know, the ultimate dose is 15 drops, then you would want to maybe start with 5.
Yep.
And if you have an extra sensitive little person or even adult, start with 1. You know, and just work your way up.
You can also, with herbal tinctures and glycerites, you can also put them on the forearm. So any type of homeopathy that's liquid, herbals that are liquid, if you have someone who is super sensitive, you can put those drops on their forearm, because it will take longer to get in their system, so they won't be so sensitive. And they will build up one thing that's great about homeopathics and herbals is you will, as it peels back the layers of the of what's going on in your body, you will see that after a few weeks, you will then be able to start doing it orally. And again, you're doing it low because you're switching from a forearm to orally. So that's something I learned from a doctor I was working with last year. And I had a hypersensitive person. Real quickly before we end, I want to just touch on some typical therapies that you will encounter if your child has a diagnosis of ADHD or autism. One of the top things is applied behavioral analysis. It's called ABA, and a lot of schools are in integrating it now as well as a therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy, which is reteaching children specific tasks that their brain is struggling with. My son had to go through cognitive behavior therapy to literally relearn quite a bit. I mean, from shopping to drawing to putting, you know, shoes and stuff like that. So it can be very, very effective. Occupational therapy, so those fine motor skills. Speech and language therapy, my middle son had to go through that. Sensory integration therapy is a big one because those who have these issues, these symptoms, and the things going on with their neurotransmitters, their nervous system, they have sensory issues. They're very, very sensitive to different sensory things. So they have therapies to help them with that. Relationship development intervention. So for those children who are severely autistic, they don't make eye contact with somebody. They're nonverbal. This is where a lot of this is going to come into play. And a couple of big ones is floor time face-to-face playing with children. It should be happening with any child, you know, and their parents. But it's ever so more important with someone who has ADHD or is on the autism spectrum. One of the things that wasn't listed in a lot of the research I was looking for, the different therapies, was mindfulness and meditation, which is, it can be key because it's helping the brain to relax. It's helping the child to take back control, to come back to the moment that they're in. So it's very, very important to look into those, even things like yoga or stretching, the movement, the slow, intentional movements for kids. I know with our kids, doing Taekwondo was key for them because it was, they had to be so rigid in specific things, but they were still doing quick movements and their body was releasing the energy they needed to release while they were also learning how to focus. So you've talked about multiple resources here today. I just want to go over a couple really big ones. Mind.org, it's MIND.org, does a lot of research, continuing research on autism spectrum disorder and other neurobehavioral disorders. Bach Integrative is Dr. Kenneth Bach, and he wrote several books that I encourage all parents to read. One of them is Healing the New Childhood Epidemics, ADHD, Allergies, Autism, and Asthma. And then his newest book is Brain Inflamed. And it talks about the inflammation that's happening in the brain with kids, why we're seeing a lot of the things we're seeing, and why that inflammation is happening. When it comes to vaccines, a couple of the resources are Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies. It can be hard to find, but is of a huge value to help you understand a lot of the studies that have been done and hidden. The Vaccine Friendly Plan. So if you're someone who has decided they want to do just an extended vaccine schedule, this is a book that helps you do that. It helps educate you on how to do that and what your rights are as a parent. And then gut and psychology syndrome. So you may have heard a lot about the GAPS diet, and typically children who have behavioral disorders, this is the first diet that they go to. And that's what it is, Gut and Psychology Syndrome by Natasha Campbell McBride. She has a whole book that walks you through it, as well as a website. And then Kathy, I think you had talked about medmaps.org. So that's where you're going for that conference. And then autismspeaks.org. So I would be careful with autismspeaks.org just because they have ties to the pharmaceutical companies. So just be careful with the information that's on there.
I actually put that one. I was looking for, I met a gentleman at one of the other conferences I went to last year, and I was trying to find his resource. I couldn't find it quickly. But he actually works with parents to help them, you know how to navigate and deal with their child. Because if, you know, I mean, it's kind of a catch 22, you know, you have a child with autism, how do you deal with it? You know, and it's frustrating. And so you need to work on yourself, you know, put on your oxygen mask so you can help the child. So that was his kind of philosophy. And I couldn't find his information real quick, but I will definitely look it up and put it in there.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's autism speaks to org is one that I've referenced quite frequently, but I have noticed over the years that things have changed dramatically. And, you know, it's, there's things that they're on there. And I'm like, that's totally from a pharmaceutical funding company and those research and everything. So, but we as health coaches have the ability to see that. And that's why I just want our listeners to understand is once you start opening this door and you start understanding all of the research that's being done, where it comes from, you know, like we say, follow the money, then it's not to deter you, but it is to educate you and inform you so that then you know what to leave and what to take in regards to your personal decisions and the family that you are looking to help. So I appreciate everybody being here today for this episode and listening in. We've given you a lot of information, but this is such an important topic to cover and give you as much education as we can in these very short 2 hours that we've had these episodes on. So if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us. You can reach us in the show notes, the information we have there, or on our social media. Just feel free to ask us questions. You can set up free consultations with each one of us. And so we hope that you have found this episode to be very informing and educational, and take what you want and leave the rest, you know, and come back when you need to listen to these episodes. Don't get overwhelmed. Take it one day at a time. As a parent who has struggled through this, I know how overwhelming it can be. Jane, you have gone through it as well. With your son. So we understand. And like we said, find those people who have been where you've been, who have gotten through that road, who are on the other side. Find those doctors who understand what you're going through as a parent. I think that's the biggest connection, right? So many doctors that I had talked to had no idea what I was experiencing during the day, and they didn't care. And it was disheartening. So find those doctors that, you know, this is their mission. They understand it fully. So to that, everyone have a fantastic week, and we will see you on the next episode.